Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, December 16th, 2008 edition of the Investigative Journal. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. Today we are going to revisit the Tony Alamo story. And last week I had on parents from one of his ministries in Arkansas talking about how he's being framed and the reasons behind that. And today I have more people on, and I'll introduce them in a moment, and they should be on the line, so just hold tight there because you're on the air. But for those of you that are not familiar with the Alamo story, it's no doubt in this columnist's mind that Pastor Alamo is being framed for speaking out against the Vatican-led New World Order and preaching the Bible. Since late last September, Alamo has been held in a federal detention without bail, awaiting trial on charges he violated the Mann Act for illegally transporting young girls across state lines for illicit purposes. Now, we talked about how the government raided his ministry in stormtrooper-like fashion. And also, one of the reasons why I believe Pastor Alamo is innocent is because in the 90s, the government did the exact same thing. And basically, I talked to FBI people, had one on my show named John Peeler, who was assigned to bring Alamo down and basically to abuse his rights as an American citizen and as a preacher in this country. And the FBI agent since has recanted, stating that he apologized to Pastor Alamo. He left the FBI and said that basically this was a frame job back then, and he is convinced it is a frame job today. With me are several parents, and we have one phone line, so we're going to be sharing that line with a number of people from the ministry to talk about their side of the story. And the one reason why I wanted to do that was because nobody in the media is giving these people a chance to speak. And you're hearing one side of the story from the mainstream media's point of view, which is actually convicting Pastor Alamo in the media and laying seeds in the mind of people all over the country that he is a child abuser and a cult leader, which I believe are totally false when you talk to the people in his ministry. Secondly, let me mention this, that these type of stories have even a tendency to alienate people who are trying to fight against the Vatican, against Tony Alamo, and I'm not one of those, because I think I've seen the real truth behind this, and talking to the parents and everything, it's just another attempt by the Vatican to silence people who won't bow down to the Pope. Today I have on with me Bert Krantz and his wife Miriam, Brian Broderick. I hope there's another gentleman by the name of Greg Siego and Al Reed there, and they all get a chance to talk in this hour, so you won't hear much from me. But, you know, what I want to do, Bert, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line, Tom. I mean, Greg.
Greg. Yeah. Bert, well, why don't we just start from, we talked last week to another parent there, but go ahead and tell us your side of the story, because I know that you've been silenced by the media, correct?
That's correct, Greg. Well, I'm one of the parents that had, I had six of my children were abducted. They were the ones that were taken, that you might have seen that video, off the interstate. And my children, my youngest is just turned 15 months, and my oldest is 12-year-old. And I have children ranging all the way up. And they've never been abused in any way. We've been just a very tight-knit, close, very happy family. And now they're just being abused like beyond measure. They've never suffered the kind of abuse that they've suffered since they were ripped from our arms right on the side of the interstate back on the 18th of November.
Mm-hmm.
And within 1 hour of taking them from us, they strip searched my girls. You know, they're checking them, and these girls have never been touched by a man. And then they're jamming them into public schools where they're, you know, these children have been in private schools, very close to the family, very close to their teachers, very close with their friends. All their lives they've been brought up in a Christian environment, not hearing profanity, not seeing any kind of pornography or even watching, like, primetime television. And I know that there's a lot of filth and a lot of degeneracy. There's sex education going on in that school. They're handing out birth control condoms. There's, you know, child rape is up. Child pregnancy is up, or a teenage pregnancy. And drug abuse is rampant in the schools. The seventh graders, some of the children have been offered drugs. They've been hit on by lesbians and homosexuals in grade school. And this is abuse. This is governmental abuse. The government steals our children, and they hold them hostage. They interrogate them, and they browbeat them, trying to get information from them, trying to get some kind of evidence to convict Pastor Tony Alamo. And the children have never been. And then they're trying to, of course, scare us and use our children as a lever, as hostages, to get us to recant our beliefs, because they know, they believe Pastor Alamo is a heretic, and so we need to recant of our Christian beliefs. I've been with the ministry 36 years. I've never heard Tony Alamo preach anything that was against the Bible. He preaches the Bible, and I believe the Bible. I believe that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God.
That's right. You know, Bert, you have three kids, right, and your wife, Miriam, and you've brought up your kids in that type of environment, and you sound like the kind of person that if Tony Alamo would do anything to hurt your children, you wouldn't even be near him, and you've been with him 36 years. Tell us a little bit about him and what you've known about him all these years.
Well, I was back then, 36 years ago, as what you would have called a hippie. Actually, I quit college the day before they were going to kick me out, and I was going to flunk out anyways because I was so much into drugs and partying and different kinds of crime that I couldn't maintain any kind of average in school anymore. The drugs had really taken any kind of desire out of me, you know, to excel in anything. And I was kind of aimless. I looked at my parents' generation, and they didn't look that exciting to me to have a mortgage and the two cars, and you know, and I saw people there having nervous breakdowns, and, you know, different kinds of physical ailments that it didn't look like, you know, they were really getting anywhere. And yet my generation, it looked like I was going to end up dying in the gutter, and I was losing hope in life. And God revealed Himself to me in His mercy, and I began to search for a place to serve Him. And Pastor Alamo had a place. Well, him and his wife, his late wife Susan Alamo, had won a bunch of these hippies to the Lord in California, and they couldn't turn them back out into the streets, having won them to the Lord, with all that, you know, the drugs was coming into the country like a flood, and the open sex and everything that was going on. They couldn't turn the kids loose back into that, so they formed this church. And a church where people, it was instituted like the book of Acts. And they preached nothing but the Bible, Greg. They preached the faith of God into my heart. And I saw their testimony. I've seen Pastor Alamo's character and his testimony. And he's reached out a helping hand to people for all the years that I've known him. And I've seen a lot of people that they're kind of like you just can't please them. They come in with nothing. And as soon as they get the wrinkles out of their belly, well, they want to light up a cigar and tell you how to run the world. You know, and then they'll walk out the door and talk bad about you. This is when the Bible says you're supposed to turn the other cheek and keep on preaching the gospel. And that's what I've seen Pastor Alamo do. Mm-hmm. And when I first met Pastor Alamo, the government was trying to close the church down back then. Mm-hmm. There was people, like I said, that ungrateful, well, they weren't happy with what Pastor Alamo and his wife could afford to give these hundreds of hippies that they were taking in, and they were giving them everything they could afford. They had no money. They had no backing from the government. They wouldn't take backing from the government. That way the government would be able to dictate to them what to preach, and they weren't going to do that. So they just relied on the Lord, and the Lord built this ministry. The Lord built this ministry. history, and I've seen it through the years. I've seen the attacks from the government over and over and over again, and they never have prevailed. And Pastor Alamo has turned the other cheek and kept reaching out with the gospel, telling people the truth. And in the course of doing that, of course, you're going to step on the toes of people in high places that are, they don't want the truth to be preached about them. For instance, corruption in the government, corruption in the court system, corruption in the churches, corruption in every phase of life. Pastor Alamo preaches against sin. And people don't like to hear that because he's telling them if they continue to sin, they're going to burn in hell and then be cast into the lake of fire eternally. Now, people that like to sin, they don't like to hear that. And so you make enemies when you do that. Jesus made a lot of enemies, and they lied about him. They followed him around. They smeared him. They slandered him everywhere he went. They called him a bastard. They called him the Beelzebub, the devil. And they finally stripped him naked, whipped him to shreds, nailed him up on that cross, and it was all on a pack of lies. And they've done that to every Christian. Jesus said, they did it to me. They're going to lie about you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you.
Yeah, I think one important thing you said was that over the 36 years you've been with him, this isn't the first time they've tried to shut this church down. And I think what you'd look at in a case like this, and I'm just talking about looking at from an illegal standpoint, there's a pattern here, the government abuse of your children to begin with. And this pattern has existed ever since he's tried to help people since you've known him. And so what I'm getting at is they never quit. And here he sits in a jail cell again. Your children still are not with you. What are the chances? How do you see? I know I spoke with some parents last week, and I wanted to update the story this week. Has any progress been made in getting your children back?
Well, our adjudication hearing is scheduled for January, but we've already, six of the girls that were taken have already been adjudicated, and we're really expecting more of the same from the government, that they're going to, they'll wheel some liars in there, and they're going to tell the story, and their judge is going to consider that a preponderance of evidence, and he's going to say that you people have to recant, leave the church, go get yourself a job outside of the church so that you can't function in the ministry as a volunteer, and so that there's no foot soldiers in the ministry, there's no one there to do the work of the ministry, and there's no congregation left, so there's no church. But, Pastor Alamo won't stop until they put a bullet in his head or hang him or kill him in some way, and we won't stop either. But we're expecting more of the same on that. And, back in the 90s when they did try to destroy the church, they thought they had destroyed the church. Then the newspapers, the media was saying that, the congregation would fall away, they'd filter into other churches, and that's the end. That was the end of the Alamo Ministries. But they saw that that wasn't the end. Because although they stole all of our property, stole our means of livelihood, dispersed the people all over the country in the middle of winter with nothing, they still didn't destroy the church because Pastor Alamo was vindicated. Of course, they did trump up that tax charge and put him in prison on that, but he was vindicated of this threatening of the federal judge, and the church grew stronger, more worldwide. The ministry reaches out further and reaches more souls, millions of souls worldwide. And so they saw that, well, that didn't work, so let's take their children now. Let's trump up charges against everybody. We'll make it a government mandate that they can't have a church anymore, and if they do, well, we'll throw them in jail. That's the kind of thing we're coming to.
Yeah, and we talked about that on this show, where if you don't follow what they do or if you speak against them the way Tony has, this is the kind of a treatment you get. How many kids really, let's put it in numbers, how many kids have been taken away at this point?
Well, it's up into the 30s. I don't have an exact count. 36 or so.
Okay.
And there's still, almost 100 that they're hunting down like dogs throughout the country. They think, they say it's the state of Arkansas, but every agency is hunting them down.
States. So they're looking for more children in other states like California and other places like that, right?
Yeah, they're hunting all over the country. They're going to you know, anybody that they think might know, they're going to, yeah, they picked them up in Indiana, they're going to different states all over the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us what Tony's situation is. When's the last time you spoke with him, and how's he doing?
Well, I haven't personally spoke to him, but as you know, the media is trying him in the newspaper, and just like they did with the Jews in Germany and throughout Europe in the 30s and 40s, and they built up such a case against the Jews that when they put him into the gas chambers, I used to wonder, how could a whole nation watch them put all these people into the gas chambers and actually, you know, think it was great? Well, I see it happening before my eyes now. They're trying him in the media. They've been doing this for years and years, slandering him in the media. Of course, as you know, he just gets stronger and stronger. And he's a very courageous and brave man to stand up for the gospel. And he won't stop until they kill him. But they're putting out enough propaganda, slander. And you know, when the Lord said, they'll speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, and you'll be hated of all men. Well, they have to speak the evil of you falsely to get the men to hate you so that people will kill you thinking they're doing God's service, and it all works together. And that's what they did to Jesus. And there were thousands of people crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Tony's not getting a fair trial with all and watch them. Everybody, you know, thinks that the government comes in with this, we're looking for pornography is being produced on this compound. They call it a compound. You know, they come to any place where Christians live, they call it a compound. Like as if we got, a barbed wire fence and concertina wire or something. But, you know, we just have houses over here. You can drive up to our houses. You can drive up. Our church is right on the highway. You can drive right in and come to our church any night. But anyways, as far as how Pastor Galamo's doing, I know that he's very encouraged in the Lord. He's very strong in the Lord. He's just really trusting the Lord for the deliverance from God.
Did you, I know your wife is there, and there's several other people. Did she want to say anything in this half hour? Because I wanted to get to some of the other people in the second half hour as well as you. I guess it's Miriam, right?
Yeah, it's Miriam. Thanks for having me on, Greg.
Don't go away, because I want to get you on before this half hour's over, and then in the next half hour, too, and we'll introduce some other people. But put your wife on.
All right, here she is.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Miriam. How are you?
Okay. Thanks for having us on today. We're really thankful because, you know, as you well know, that it's very hard to get our side of the story out, even though, you know, we give interviews to the press and to the newspaper reporters. They refuse to print our story, and they refuse to print any truth, because they know that most everybody knows that this is such a smear campaign against Pastor Lamo that if they gave us a chance, just a small chance, just to get out our side of the story, they would see that, number one, This false pretense of a raid, you know, to find a child pornography, and that they accidentally leaked it out, and somehow on that very same minute that all the FBI, state troopers, state police, just this massive operation that came upon us all at one minute. Well, lo and behold, all the newspaper, all the news television stations were all there at the same exact minute. And the helicopters. I mean, all of course on Pastor Lamo's 74th birthday. I mean, this was no accident, like they tried to say in the paper, that they accidentally had to move it up. It was very planned out. Every move that they're making, and of course they never found what they were looking for. They never found pornography, and so instead it took over 100 police and. You know, we have live footage of the actual raid, and you can see all these men just storm the backyard with six girls back there, six little girls, machine guns pointed at their chests with the lasers pointed right at their chests. These little girls, you know, it took all these men to come up with these six girls because they couldn't find anything against Pastor Lamo.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything worse than having your children taken away like this. This isn't they've done this before. Tell us what you believe their real true motives are as a mother. I mean, here you are watching your children now and being raised against your will. And it, to me, makes absolutely no sense. And I can't understand why no one in that community outside of your ministry will come to your assistance. It shows the complete total control this government really has when they want to, correct?
Correct. We've been in this area for about 10 years, and just to let you know, these people in this area of Texarkana are extremely bigoted. They we have African American members in our church, and Spanish, and all kinds of people. These people are, they're, you know, that's one reason why they hate us so much. And being me as a mother, seeing my six children, I have six children. I have a little 2-year-old son, and I have a 15-month-old baby girl, and my other four daughters are 5, 7, 9, and 12, and I've only seen them for 2 hours, and you know, they took him in that first hour, and they searched all my children, and they didn't find anything wrong with any of them. They were healthy and fine. They were happy. The way we raise our children is according, number one, according to the Bible. We teach them the Bible, and you know, we have a private school. We have excellent meals. We have all of our children. They went to IMAX this year. They went to Magic Springs. They went to the fair. We have regular outings. They're not barred in like these insane television radio. You know, all these lies that they say about our church. It's not like that at all. And you know, that's why I'm so glad that we can get on and tell you, because you know, these people have maligned us so terribly that it's hard to break through with the truth, because they love to believe a lie. They really do. And this town of Falk is notoriously bigoted. They're even famous for the hanging tree that they have here, that was used, you know, back in the days when they would do that. And
are the same people that'll walk into some Protestant church supposedly praying to Christ, but at the same time saying, look, we got these people, and you guys are doing nothing. I mean, you're expressing the same right that they have. And it's just amazing to me that none of these people near there would come to your rescue, or even the local newspaper, you know, which, if there's going to be any kind of truth anywhere nowadays, you know, with this mainstream press being so controlled, you would think there might be a local editor around there that really wants to hear your side of the story or would take the time. But I guess they're just as bad as CNN, don't you think?
Worse.
Yeah.
Because they know us personally. The residents in this whole area, they come to our church regularly for food, for their bills to get paid. Pastor Lama paid $60,000 for a new park for them, $5,000 for the Jaws of Life, for this small little town. I'll continue.
Go ahead.
A little
bit. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so he's helped them, and then they turn their back on him, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, listen, we're going to take a short break, Miriam, and Bert, you hold on. We got another half hour to go, and there may be some other people, but at the half hour, I'll get Bert back on. Back in 3 minutes on the Investigative Front.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Okay, we are back for the last half hour of the Investigative Journal. I'm revisiting the Tony Alamo story, and just for your information, he has been charged with violating the Mann Act for illegally transporting young girls across state lines for illicit purposes. And we have a number of the members of his ministry on the program today. Last week, I had some members on also trying to get their side of the story out. I've known Pastor Alamo for a long time and can tell you that the research that I've done shows that there's no doubt in my mind he's been framed again. And once we start unraveling the truth, I think we can show that without a doubt that there is no evidence that's going to leak, that's going to come out, that's going to show that he violated the Mann Act, save perhaps a few people that may lie for ulterior motives. And I might add that since his arrest, hundreds of his friends have come to his rescue. Despite the town of Falk, who he's tried to help, they've turned a cold shoulder to him. And it goes to show you how deep this government control has gotten in our country, and how we've gotten away from really understanding that parents have a right to raise their children. And I'm sure they would be the first ones, these people that are on my show would be the first ones to complain if Pastor Alamo was doing anything illegal, because they care about their children and love them. But I surely wouldn't want my kids in the hands of the government, and that's exactly what they've done on a lie. Now, further, independent pretrial discovery has shown that a number of government witnesses, and this might be, like Bert said earlier, disgruntled members of the ministry who left, were coerced and bribed into saying things against him, using that lying testimony to convict him, and that's exactly what they will do. And I've got an article on my website dated December 10th, so go to arcticbeacon.com, you can read that, and you'll see some of the information that's come out. Bert, are you there?
Yes, I'm still here, Greg.
Okay, Bert, that's an interesting point. So there's been information that's come forward that a number of these people have been coerced and, in fact, bribed with financial favors to get them to lie about Pastor Alamo and what goes on at your ministry, correct?
That's true. That's true.
Okay.
Also, it's true what you're saying, that I would never let my children be harmed in any way.
Yeah.
Now, this is really just the beginning. You know, them taking our children and making it look like we're some dangerous cult, and the government has to protect our children from us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that are murdering people. Why? Look at the abortion is up. There's been 400 million abortions since Roe versus Wade, and that's murder. And you know, we're bombing men, women, children, mothers, dads, grandfathers, grandmothers, and innocent children all over the globe. This government is doing that. And if anyone's dangerous to society, it's this government. And
correct.
They know that Tony will expose that and expose them, and it makes sense to the people. That they, and look, they murdered all those children at Waco because they were being abused. That's a smokescreen. They pull on the heartstrings of people saying, oh, we have to save the children. And they're here all the while. They're the ones that are abusing the children. They're the ones that are corrupting them. They're teaching them how to have sex at such a young age that the kids are getting raped in grade schools. That never happened when I was a kid. I never heard of that happening. There weren't drugs being rampant in the schools when I was a kid. There wasn't all the teenage pregnancies and abortion when I was a kid. The world has gotten worse. It's not gotten better because of all the enlightenment of our government.
Good point. Now, are there other people there that want to say something?
Yes. In fact, Brian Broderick is here. Three of his children have been taken, stolen away from him, and I'm sure he has a lot to say. Here he is.
All right. Put him on. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Greg. How are you?
Good. Tell us your story and how you feel about what's going on over there.
Well, I want to start off by saying, Greg, that I've known Pastor Lamo for 28 years almost now, and I can honestly tell you that he's a complete opposite of what they're saying on the news media, and I wouldn't want my children to be raised anywhere else but in this ministry, I'll tell you, because like Bert was saying, you know, they have a very good environment here. We're a very close-knit family, and our children are taught the best. You know, they're taught Christian morals. They're raised properly. They go to a really wonderful private school with Christian curriculum, and they're not taught the filthy things that are taught in the public schools like I was. And you know, I'm also a former Catholic, and I was raised a Catholic too, and I was taught a lot of bad things in the Catholic school also. But my two daughters were one of the original six girls that were taken from the ministry that were kidnapped at gunpoint, and I was here. Actually, I was coming into town from, I was out of town on a construction job, and I was coming in on the weekend and to get my girls, and I came home to over 100 officers surrounding the property, surrounding the house over here with guns and bulletproof vests and ski masks and running around in fatigues and on top of the roofs and everything, and had these, like Miriam was saying, they had the lasers pointed at the children, and they were pulling them into the paddy wagons, and it was a real traumatic scene, you know. It was something you never thought would happen in America, you know. It's just like Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And my two girls, they've been gone now for going on 3 months.
And their ages, Brian?
11 and 12.
Okay.
And
they... Go ahead.
It's a hard thing to go through, you know, to think that this can actually happen in America.
Now, they've been gone for 2 months?
Pardon me?
They've been gone for 2 months now, right?
Going on 3 months.
Okay. And tell us what you've learned about their whereabouts. How many times have you had a chance to see them? Tell us a little bit about what's transpired in those 2 months.
Well, I get to see them once a week for 1 hour, and... my daughters have been put in public schools. One of them has. And she, as soon as she got into that public school, they were already hitting her up for drugs, you know, trying to sell her drugs. She had, she's in the seventh grade, and she had juniors and seniors in high school following her around, trying to, you know, coerce her to have sex. And, you know, things that she has totally never, ever had any encounters with. She's so uncomfortable. She was saying, Dad, please do everything that you can to get me out of here. She goes, I can't stand it. She goes, if I didn't know that there was a burning hell under my feet and I wasn't a Christian, that I would kill myself. She said, I'm so miserable. I hate it here. She She says, they follow me around everywhere. You got these guys following me around. And then the DHS people won't let me talk to my family. They won't let me talk to you. They tell me what I have to say and what I can't say. And she goes, I hate it. I can't stand it. And there's some of the people there, you know, somebody that's very close to me has told me that they've heard from the federal government that they're bribing people. They're following people around, following them to their jobs, and they're threatening them, if you don't testify against Pastor Alamo, that we're going to come and get you with the state police, and you're going to do it our way. And, you know, there's a lot of threatening going on, a lot of coercing, and people are being bribed, of course. You know, we talked about that earlier. But it's really getting to the point where, you know, we really need to move from God. And that God is the only one that's going to see us through this.
You know, and you said one of your girls is in a public school, so they've separated them too, right?
That's correct. The rest of the kids, they get to see each other on a regular basis. But one of my daughters, the youngest one, Alexis, they have her separated. And she's not around any of the other kids as far as living with them, but she does get to see them once in a while. And she's, you know, a real sweet little girl, real soft-hearted. And she's come up to me and she's told me during these visits, she said, Dad, you know, they're telling me that they have all kinds of really bad things on Pastor Tony, that they've found all kinds of real nasty things on him. And I said, Alexis, I said, they're lying. I said, they have not found anything on Pastor Alamo. They came here under the guise of busting a child pornography ring, and they've even stated that when they came and raided this place, this church here, that they have not found 1 ounce of child pornography. They never found a picture. They never found anything. And they also stated that if they can't get Pastor Alamo on these child abuse charges, they're going to come after him for fraudulent business operations.
Mm-hmm.
And they have everything lined up in a row that if this one won't get them, then they'll get them on something else. And
that's exactly what the FBI agent said that I talked to, who was assigned back in the 90s to bring Pastor Alamo down. They said, find anything, plant anything. And finally, they had to get him on a bogus tax charge. Since then, this FBI agent named John Peeler has come on my show. In fact, was on with Tony explaining how the government wanted him set up, and this man left the FBI over this story. And since then, he has been intimidated in the worst of ways by the own agency he worked for telling the truth. And to the point where his son, I don't know if you know this, Brian, but his son, the FBI agent who tried to tell the truth about Tony, his son has been convicted of a bogus murder charge when he was in the military. He was a lieutenant or a sergeant in the military, and they framed him on a murder charge, and he sits in some jail in Arkansas right now.
Yes,
it's unbelievable,
well,
isn't it?
And I know that's how the government works. I've heard that also from somebody that's very close to me, that that's what they're trying to do to members of this ministry, that they're just trying to find anything, and if they don't, they're going to find something to get some people in the ministry. If you know, they don't talk, and they're trying to coerce people, like I said, like crazy. They're going to all people, my mother included. She is not in the ministry, and they went to her, and they were trying to get her to testify against Pastor Alamo in the ministry, and she said she would not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And another person in my family, they went to, and they're trying to get him to testify, and he said, no. I said, I don't know anything about that, and I'm not going to testify. And they said, well, if you don't, then we'll come and get you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, no, I know my rights, and you know, that you can't make me testify about something that I don't know nothing about. And they said, well, you're just like your father. We know all about your father. We don't like him. He's an arrogant man, and you know, we're doing what we can to try and get him too. And what they're doing is they're trying to overwhelm us with all these charges. And if this one won't work, then they'll try and get the ministry on this one. And they're doing that with Pastor Alamo. They have all these different charges lined up in a row that if this one don't get it, then the next one will.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, is anybody else there that wants to speak?
Yes, there is. There's Greg Stego. He's here.
Okay, put him on.
Okay, Greg, it was nice talking with you.
nice talking to you, Brian. Go ahead. Greg Siego. Tell us your story, Greg.
Well, I've had three of my kids ripped off. My daughter was in the first raid, and never been through anything like this in my entire life. It's just the most shocking thing I've ever seen, and I had been educated about the government, but to really live these things is really something else. The chief prosecuting attorney for the Department of Human Services, Mary Helen Mitchell, just came right out in court, openly calling us a cult, mm-hmm. of all things. If anyone, she's a cult member. You know, Pastor Lamo has been judged and sentenced by these ungodly people before he's ever even gone to trial. And he's been judged by Mary Helen Mitchell, chief prosecuting attorney, and all the others, the news media, they're such great judges of the people of God, like they're Christians. It's a society of perverts, openly homosexuals, and they love and promote, as we've talked about, abortions, which is first-degree murders. They're a bunch of sickos, and especially among minor children. And can you believe, Greg, that it's a law in our country for minor children, don't tell your parents that you're going to have an abortion? These are the laws that these wicked people are upholding. It's okay to fornicate, consenting adults. No big deal in our society. They uphold all these laws of these evil people. And they actually try to cut me a deal.
Go ahead and tell us what they were trying to do.
Well, they tried to cut me a deal publicly. Openly to us, they said, listen, if you'll just lie about Pastor Lamo, just say he's a bad guy, he's abusive, he's done these evil things, and you either knew or you should have known, if you'll leave the ministry, we might give you your daughter back. Isn't that sick? I say go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Lamo won my soul. He taught me the Bible. He taught me to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been a testimony to me for 32 years. And the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is in my heart. They want Christ to come out of my heart like he's out of theirs? There isn't any kind of chance of that. That's just never going to happen. I'm never going to turn my back and be a Judas goat like others have decided to do. You know, Judas, he didn't break any laws when he betrayed the Lord. He was well within the laws of the land when he betrayed the Messiah. And Jesus said he had the greater sin. And all this wickedness, you know, that these people are perpetrating. This country, right in the San Fernando Valley in California, there's more pornography produced in our country than any place else in the world. All
that is a fact.
Combined.
In fact, I used to drive through there, and you can actually see the warehouses as you're driving, one after the other in that community. Go ahead.
Exactly. There's more porn produced right there than all the porn combined in the entire world. We see the total collapse of morals in America by a generation of godless people that had the Lord Jesus Christ extracted from schools and from the courtrooms many years ago, and they want to sit as the righteous judges of Pastor Lamo and his church and the Christians that attend the church here. Like they're righteous and they're holy, and oh, we're godly people. One of the heads of the Department of Human Services, Cindy Allen, states, well, I'm a Christian. And, oh, you know, so many people here in the DHS, we're Christians. But, you know, they're professing Christians. Just because a person goes to church, they say they're Christians. You know, we believe John 3:16, like that's the whole Bible. And the pastor keeps rebuking them for sin and the wickedness that's going on in this world, and they hate him for it. Don't tell us we're going to hell anymore. And the churches, you know, they have these false prophets. Well, God, you know, they say God is love, and we want to believe that. We're comfortable in our false religion. No one ever persecutes them in mainstream churches. No one ever lies about them. The news media, the mouth of the beast, they never go after these phonies relentlessly and attacking them. Everyone loves them. All speak well about these phonies. And, you know, they're all part of the Antichrist system, and they love it. They're so happy and content to live a life of ease and just do their own thing. Don't live the life of the Bible to deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow the Lord. Never make a stand. And just, it's no big deal. Just be a Judas goat and just turn on the pastor. Sell your soul. We might let you have your kid back. And by the way, they'll say, if you leave the property, why, the ones that did leave the property to defend their children, they're hunting them down all across the United States. I had many witnesses on my behalf in that courtroom to testify on my behalf. And the government intimidated every one of them in front of the whole world. They just took them, they took our kids, and they issued a court order to take all the children, and my witnesses fled to protect their children. That's what they did to me. They took my son right in the courtroom that wanted to testify on my behalf.
Now tell me exactly where your children are now.
They're in Arkansas. They're, of course, going through the system. One of my daughters, the foster mother, was homeschooling her with her Rebecca books, like she had here in the church. But when the government saw that that pleased me, that I was really happy with that, they forced her and made her throw her into public schools. You've already heard all the tragic stories, what's going on there. My kids tell me all the same thing. And my kids are all being taken to other churches. If you'll just convert, just listen, just become a Baptist or just become a Catholic, everything's going to be all right. Just be a Johnny Lunch Pail and go to college and then and be members of society, part of this evil system. And make sure you watch lots of television and go along with the program, and your kids will be reformed. You'll be all right. Well, once they convert them, they'll be happy. Once they turn them into evil, like the demons that they have, this government, once they convert my children, then they'll be happy. And they really talk trash about me. They really degrade me to my children. And
an interesting thing you said was that the head prosecuting attorney, Ms. Mitchell, comes out in open court and states you're a cult. Now, my question to her and to people that may believe her is, what kind of evidence? Has she spent time at your ministry? Has she done a complete study of what goes on there? Or is she just recanting what she's told to say by her authorities that want Pastor Alama to be brought down? I'll give you that question.
Well, it's the same backsliders that lied and said, oh, there's a lot of evil going on there. Well, they've got a child pornography ring going on. These same, she just believes that. Whatever these backsliders tell her, she believes that. And Jesus warned, you should be careful what you hear, who you listen to. The voice you hear is going to win the fight over your soul. You want to listen to these liars? You want to listen to these devils? Go ahead. But you're going to pay dearly for it in eternity. I really like listening to the righteous people of the Lord, like Pastor Lamo. And it's so rare, it's so comforting to be somewhere amongst friends. Greg, I can't believe that, you know, you've helped and reached out to us so much and let us give our side of the story. It's a really comforting thing.
Well, and here's a point that I want to make, is that you've been there 32 years, or 30 years or so. You love your children. You wouldn't let your children be around any type of hatred or any type of illicit actions like their pornography rings. And I think if there was anything wrong with Pastor Alamo, you'd be the first to come out and say it, wouldn't you?
I'd be gone. I'd be totally gone. Those are lies. I have personally, with my own eyes, I've witnessed what really goes on here. And, you know, all they're doing is, because the Bible teaches to chasten your children, to spank them, you know, when necessary, and it's happened so rare, that what they're trying to do is say that that's abuse, you know, to raise your kids and just say, now, Johnny, don't do that. These fathers are just a bunch of pantywaists, and they won't discipline their children. And you have these kids who are just lawless. They're just out of control. My children tell me in public schools that if the teachers tell them to do something and be quiet, they tell the teacher, shut up, and you can't make me.
Oh,
it's against the law. If the father says, "Look, I'm gonna spank you for that," oh yeah, I'll go tell the cops. I'll have you
in jail.
Parents are afraid of their children today. Because the laws are all upside down. Good is made evil, and evil is made good. It's child abuse to not discipline your children.
Good point. Yeah.
And I would never allow my children to be subject to any kind of abuse anywhere, and I'm the protector. You mess with my kids, you're going to deal with me. And and the pastor's never done anything but good for my children, ever.
Yeah. And, you know, one after another, you come forward, and then remember what that how they operate. And when Ms. Mitchell says you're a cult, the intention is to give in the minds of the American people that you've been brainwashed. And we got to get that out of their minds. You're not brainwashed. You're able to tell right from wrong. And that's the reason they want to depict you as a cult. What do you think?
Well, sure. Because... They do want us to look like we're brainwashed, and what they in fact they try to stop using that buzzword, and now they're using the word conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, they're conditioned to believe in wickedness. They're conditioned to hate Pastor Lamo. They're conditioned to want to destroy this ministry. They've been trained and brought up and told every kind of lie, and they really haven't ever been to our church. They don't know Pastor Lamo personally.
Right.
They that way because they want to. They love to believe lies.
Well, listen, we're all out of time. I want to thank you. I want to thank Bert, Miriam, and the others who have been on the show, Brian. And we'll talk again. Thanks a lot, Greg.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, we're all out of time. Back tomorrow, same time, same place on the Investigative Journal. Until then, good morning.